See everybody this morning. I see a few more faces that we haven't seen in recent days due to the COVID. So glad that you're here. And I'm wearing a suit today because of having the responsibility of administering the Lord's Supper, and that's the way I feel about it today. Just wanted to, because obviously, been a while since I've worn a suit up here. You know, we communicate something by what we wear. So last few years I've worked on wearing just a shirt, golf shirt or something, because of the desire not to put forth any kind of barrier to people that might be wanting to seek the Lord. So that's the reason for that. A praise, Bob King is home. We've been praying for him for a while, and he's home, and Gaynell, them together. Don Dawes is a member of our church still in the hospital. Let's pray for him. We want to remember hurricane victims. Most of us know exactly what they're experiencing, feeling. We pray for responders that went there, whether utility workers because they were told to. That's okay. I remember 3 years ago when the power was out here, there was a group out of Tennessee. It just really makes you feel something to see people from a long way away coming to help you. So they're being blessed today by responders. And we need to pray for our country. The violent chaos in many cities that's really capturing our minds and hearts, very real. It illustrates the need for leaders of our nation, states, cities. I've said this so much in the last several years. We vote for people, and the most basic thing we expect is that they be leaders. Do the right thing. We've got different opinions on that, perhaps. But we pray they would step up as leaders. Let's bow together. Father, we are grateful to come into your presence, whether especially those of us who are blessed to be in the house of God, as we call it, to be together in a familiar place of worship. And when I say that, I'm so aware of people that long to be in this house of worship. They long to. They miss it deeply. We pray there would be a growing number of people who during this pandemic and the separation would find themselves wanting to be in the house of God when perhaps a year ago that was not their desire, but that you would do a work in their hearts. We pray for our nation. That's such a big request. But we join millions of others who are praying. And we're human. We pray with particular things in mind. But Father, we want to come before you, approaching your throne, that your hand be upon this nation, its leaders, regional leaders, community leaders. Father, we pray for the hurricane victims, Some have lost everything. Some have lost some family. We pray for the institutions that come in and provide, but there's only so much. We thank you for those who come and bless people with their presence, especially those who do so in the name of Jesus. We thank you for them and pray that some would come to believe in Christ because of that. Be with us now as we prepare this morning to celebrate the Lord's Supper, which was originally instituted as the Last Supper. And someday there will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I get into the message, you're free if you need to go get the elements either up here or in the back. And let me just say, this is the first time for me and you to do the Lord's Supper in an online. The majority of the people are going to be participating online. That's just a different thing. So what I want to say is this. Some perhaps didn't get their elements that we provided. If you didn't, you don't need my instruction, but if I was home and I didn't have it, as I said in one of my devotionals, I would get saltine cracker, get the salt off. It'd be just like in Israel, first century. Get the salt off. Now what you drink, that depends on what you got there at the house. But it's symbolic, therefore you can participate with us. But frankly, if you find yourself unprepared, then this is going to be a learning curve for all of us. How we in the office can help you get ready. So let us know. Let us know. One other thing. Well, you can turn to the book of Hebrews while I say this next thing. Hebrews 9. This is a time I would say, especially I hope and pray that your home or wherever you're listening is a sanctuary for you. And I just thought about something. This is new territory for people who've been worshiping online. When you come to the church house, things are set up that you know you're in. Perhaps your family needs to talk about, you may need to say to your family, let me say to you what would make this more special in our home if we wouldn't do this, this, or this. Maybe you haven't had that discussion. I would just encourage you to talk among yourselves and share what would make it more of a sanctuary, you know, whether it's whatever noise is going on, just saying it's a new territory. Don't be afraid to talk about it. Hebrews 9, verse 11. Hebrews 9, 11. Most of you know that by the title of this New Testament book, and I am increasingly, as I get older, blown away with the unique difficulty of turning from Judaism right there in downtown Jerusalem of centuries, not decades, centuries of observance. Your grandfather taught you these prayers and your grandfather did this at the Passover. And if you know anything about the Jewish Passover, that's huge in the home. And then somebody comes along, and I don't mean Jesus because he's more than somebody, but and says, have you heard about Jesus? He's coming to town. we have decided in my family to turn to Him. He is the fulfillment of everything we've ever learned, and it's time to let go. And if you're old and, well, the older you are, the more you know how big a deal it is to let go of anything. We're supposed to let go of all of that and embrace Him. I did not have that challenge, that problem, that barrier in my life. I came to Christ in a friendly environment. So the book of Hebrews is originally written to people who are intellectually and emotionally, spiritually struggling with, are you sure He's the Messiah and we're supposed to turn away from this? Are you sure? And the Hebrews is a deeply profound theological book saying we are absolutely sure. And you know what's wonderful about that? Nobody is saying everything you ever learned in Exodus is terrible. Run from it. No. Bring it with you. Because He is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Hebrews 9:11, let me read it first, verses 11 through 15. I'll put it on the screen too. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves. But with His own blood He entered the most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purging of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this reason, He is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Let's bow together as we get ready. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the unique books of the Bible. The purpose of them, the language. Thank You for Hebrews. We, most of us not being Jewish, we're blessed by seeing the great persuasive argument that Jesus is the Messiah. He's above all, in all, through all. Thank You for this. Help us now to let this soak in, speak to us as we prepare to eat of that bread and drink of that cup. In Jesus' name, amen. And not that you need my permission, if you're home and you're not a member of our church, you are encouraged to be part of this. So, don't clap. I don't have points. I'm going to go through these verses with you. Work through them as we get ready for the supper. I've highlighted in yellow the Old Testament Levitical pieces of furniture and points of contact. Christ came as high priest. Jewish people, especially in the first century, they could tell you who is the high priest. They could tell you what he did. Christ came as the high priest. And remember something. If you were raised in a evangelical, biblical environment, which I call friendly, Jesus was introduced to you so thoroughly, you probably never struggled with, if I was a 16-year-old boy and the shepherds came to me and said, my Messiah is in some stall, and let's get real, what did it smell like? You don't have to answer. What? Yeah, he's in a stall. They move cows out of the way to put him in this manger. That's ridiculous. Forget it. They walk away. You don't go from there to being the high priest. You have to have a name and a grandfather and a great-grandfather that has the vestments in the closet, and they belong on your granddad and now you, but not him. So Christ came as high priest, good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle. Most of you know, Israelites delivered from bondage of Egypt. They're in the wilderness a long time, the desert. They created a church building called the tabernacle. Every piece of it, temporary, mobile. Tear it down, move on. The tabernacle. In the Greek, it says Jesus came and tabernacled with us. That's actually the Greek word, tabernacled. So they went from the tabernacle, and finally they got to build the temple. But it says here, he came with the greater and more perfect tabernacle. And of course, he was the tabernacle. Building a case, fixing to make a point, they were to Jewish people. Because see, technically, Book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Hebrews, every single tiny detail of Jewish theology points to Jesus. If you have ears to hear and eyes and a heart to receive it. Not made with hands, not of this creation, of course. Not with the blood of bulls and goats. Now we're getting down to it. Why do you have that tabernacle? Why do you have that temple? For everybody to sit in a pew and sing? No. For the priest to come in and do what he has to do with carcasses, skin, bone, entrails, blood. And you know, if you've ever read through the Bible, you say, okay, I got to read Leviticus, and here we go. Every detail. Not with the blood of bulls and goats, of goats and calves, but with his own blood. Of course, that's the most basic Christian theological statement. He entered the most holy place. You don't do that lightly. There is tradition. Don't look for it in your Bible. And it's okay. And tradition is not bad. It makes perfect sense. That a rope was tied to the ankle of the priest who once a year went into the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was. He went in there, did the priestly stuff, and if he messed up and he died, which is possible, nobody wants to go in there and get him because it's dangerous. They pull him out with a rope. Because that's a big deal to go in the Holy of Holies. Jesus went in with his blood. having obtained eternal redemption. Now here's the argument about the difference between centuries of sacrificial activity, God ordained, and all of a sudden you're turning your head to the cross. And I'm supposed to say, that's it. So if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, in the book of Numbers, there's a particular provision. If you walked in, especially with this COVID, we can really identify. Nurses, doctors, healthcare workers. Remember this, every minute of every day. See, when I walk out of HEB, I can't wait to do that, the mask. That's like, thank you, Lord. Every minute of every day, healthcare workers are putting on protective clothing like you wouldn't believe. So in Book of Numbers, if you happened upon a dead body, you're in trouble. I don't mean like death. And if you had to deal with a dead body, you're unclean. There's certain uncleanness that's announced. It says in the Book of Numbers, it's only till the evening. I read that the other day and said, that's not bad. We have to do 14 days. So they're till the evening. But you got to get the ashes of a heifer applied to you. Is that magical? It's not the point. In the Jewish system, it's acknowledged. You are unclean till they do that. And then you're deemed clean. And so what do we want from healthcare workers? Got a negative test. They said so. So the ashes of a heifer are used for that. And so that worked. That's what I want to say to you this morning. In that system, you're now clean thanks to. And how are you clean? Because they said so, and you get to go home, and everybody says, welcome home. Well, this is bigger than that. So if, and of course the if is this, you might as well say, since. Because all the Jews would say, of course now we're clean. Of course the blood of bulls and goats does what it's supposed to do. Since it does that, and here's what we know. Everything the sacrificial system did in the temple was temporary. You had to come back. The priest had to go back into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. And that's not a put down, that's a technical fact. So if that's true, this is the case for Christ. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot? Surely you know, and I know you do. What do you bring into the temple as a sacrifice from your family? It's costly. If you have a small herd, the best. And they know what the best is. If you read about the Levitical priests, those had to be some strong, manly men. I'm not going to get into detail, but they take care of a carcass. And they know what they're doing. Now, I can imagine some typical sinner. Let's try to get this calf in there. No, it's got to be without spot, and Jesus offered himself without spot. How much more? Well, much more. That's the fact. And here's the deal about sharing the gospel. Either your family and mine and your friend and mine will say, wow, that's much more. Or at that very moment, they're going to say, no. That's tragic. That's dangerous. There's a point in a gospel presentation where none of us wants to see this. Do I really want to talk to my dad about Jesus? Because I don't want to hear my dad say, "Mike, that's fine for you, not for me." I don't want to hear that. So you guess what I'm going to do? I think I'm not going to talk to him. Now, if you don't believe that about the gospel, that life and death is in the balance, then you don't understand the gospel. How much more, and you're hoping people say, "Boy, I'm getting this. I see your point." Much more. Jesus saves to the uttermost. He is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. There's a moment in heaven in the book of Revelation that everybody gasped. They couldn't breathe. When there was a moment when the scroll could it be opened and we find out who's in the Lamb's book of life? Who's worthy? And there's a moment where the book of Revelation shows you it's possible that nobody's worthy, and then all of a sudden there's the Lamb. And he opens it. Now the last verse. Here it is, if you either believe it or you don't. This is all of world history from God's perspective. For this reason, we have a new covenant and somebody put it in place. That's a good sound, isn't it? You don't mind getting rained on when we leave. There's a mediator. Somebody makes this in effect, to put it in effect. It's a new covenant. See, I was raised, like many of you, under the new covenant. Right from the get-go, I heard about Jesus. He died for my sins. And they laid it out for me, Sunday school, worship, RAs, all these places. New covenant. I couldn't understand. I didn't appreciate that it was better than the old. But the more I study the Bible, wow. The old covenant. Stoned to death. Put to death. Kicked out. All kinds of things. So he's the mediator of a new covenant. And of course, that we're about to drink of the cup of the new covenant, not the Passover. The Passover, I hope that you feel the weight, and I feel it because I'm speaking publicly on the airwaves. When I was younger, I'm being nice to myself, I wouldn't mind jabbing the Jewish community. I know the truth. Y'all need to step up. I feel the weight of making this statement that the new covenant replaces the Passover. And the replacement is, get that stuff out of the way. No. Watch it be fulfilled in Jesus. What a wonderful truth. Some people come to Jesus and they're told, you know, whatever you've been believing is bad stuff. You need to completely walk away from it, even if you have to leave your family. And you embrace Christ. And not one thing from your religion, none of it, connects to Jesus. That wasn't my experience. That's not the experience of the Jewish community. But it is the experience of some world religions. The new covenant by means of death. Poor Peter, the last man to say to Jesus, "You're not going to the cross if I have anything to do with it. Because my Messiah has no business being put on a Roman cross, viciously suffering. The last one to argue with Jesus. And he was wrong because he had no appreciation that the Last Supper Peter drank the cup with Jesus had to be made effectual by his death on the cross. By means of death for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant. Incidentally, to be technical, I was a sinner under the first covenant. Because the law, it says in the book of Romans, is a schoolmaster, a teacher. It shows you where you're sinning so that you can appreciate Jesus. I was a sinner under the original declaration of sin, and the new covenant comes along and brings salvation. And finally, the last part of verse 15. That those who are called may receive. I highlighted the word call. I've said this before. You know, predestined, elected, call. We get all nervous about that. Here's something not to get nervous about. Here's something to get in your head and your heart. God started it. God is responsible for it. And the only way you say yes is if he calls. Now, how that gets theologically with fine print, Roman 10-point print, 16 pages, that's where we get all tied up. It says it right there. Those who are called. That's where you want to humbly say, Lord, just want to submit to you and pray that my family is hearing the call. That they may receive the promise of the eternal redemption. We're about to participate in the Lord's Supper because we believe it's the new covenant. We've received the benefit, the truth of it in the heart already. So if somebody died yesterday and they didn't make it to the Lord's Supper today, and they're a believer, you know the, not that you wondered. The Lord's Supper doesn't do it. The Lord's Supper declares it, celebrates it, points it out. I want to read a couple of quotes as we get ready. In 1954, J.B. Phillips, he was one that did that pioneered a New Testament translation. Here's what he said about the Lord's Supper, calling it Holy Communion. Holy Communion is surely always falling short of its true purpose if it fails to produce some sense of solidarity with fellow worshipers. See, I just made a case for the vertical connection to the Lord's Supper. Now, you could on your own at home, somebody said, I can't go to church for the rest of my life. On that vertical axis, you can certainly take the Lord's Supper. But let me tell you the purpose of the biblical setup of the Lord's Supper. Him and us. It is a church ordinance. 10-second little parenthesis. My upbringing and my teaching makes me uncomfortable with doing the Lord's Supper in any other setting. I'm just going to leave it there. It's a church ordinance. And it should be celebrated with fellow believers. And there ought to be a difference. Every time we do it, it ought to yield and produce deeper and wider and more profound fellowship among fellow believers. He says it's the ordained place of deepest fellowship for those who are committed to the way of Christ. Ordinary, faulty, and imperfect though they are. I'm going to read from Matthew 26. If you'll take your elements. I'm not used to. It feels weird to say take your package of elements, but it's packaged for that reason. Now, you probably have heard, or if you haven't heard, it may be too late. I found out very quick when these came in. A little tricky. You got to make sure the very top cover, which only deals with the bread. Otherwise, you'll pull the whole thing. It's not the end of the world, but it'll make it tough. So in other words, you got to find that top layer to get to the bread. Then you do the bottom in a moment. I'm going to read from Matthew 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. So what we have in our hands, if I can get it. Imagine Jesus breaking that unleavened bread, that snap. He knew what that meant. They found out later. That's what's in our hands. Father, this morning, we humbly partake of this bread as a symbol of your broken body on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 27, then he took the cup. Don't worry if you make a mess, we'll get it. Because I feel like I'm going to. He took the cup and gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant. Think of those words to them. Maybe went over their head. It shouldn't go over ours. The blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Father, we are thankful for this moment together, the wonderful sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, help us to walk in newness of life, to walk in harmony with what the Lord's table proclaims. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.